Good morning. This is the first talk of the year 2014 or 2014. And this is Sunday, January 5th. And the only reason I give the date is because some people find it important to be able to put these talks in some order as to when they were given. I know I myself have looked at the dates of some of Joel's talks because I know that in 1959 he gave his talks, most of his talks, or quite a lot of talks on spiritual healing. And the reason for that, as he said in his own words, is he discovered that people were not getting the principles. So he made an effort to tour around the world and give these principles in a precise and concise manner so that everybody would get them and so that there would be tapes and later books. He felt that the reason people... One of the reasons that people were not getting this spiritual healing part of the infinite way was because either A, they did not understand the nature of error, and so they were fighting it or trying to get God to do something about it, or B, they were not understanding the nature of prayer, and they were making a lot of affirmations and denials, but refusing to, or not understanding that they needed to complete prayer by listening. And as he stated in many, many, if not all of his works, this listening was the real prayer. Because God's word uttered in consciousness is what does the healing, not any recitation of truths or truth statements. And so in 1959 he traveled the world hoping to describe these principles so well that there would be many more practitioners in the infinite way. And I don't know what happened, because I wasn't there when he did that. I was only four, or five, rather. I was five when he did that. And I wasn't there, so I don't know what happened. But I do not see today hundreds of practitioners in the infinite way. I only know of less than five. And I don't get out from these mountains much and travel the planet, so I'm sure there must be, much, much more, maybe 50, maybe even 500, I don't know. But there should have been more if the students were grasping and practicing the principles. And so, I felt the push a couple of weeks ago to reread The Art of Spiritual Healing, which was taken from the talks that he gave in 1959, and was published in 1959, the first publishing. So, I started reading, and the reason why I started reading was, number one, I was nudged to do it. Internally, I felt I saw the cover of the book, and that was all, in a meditation, and so I picked it up again. Anyway, it's fascinating to me, and something that I want to know how to do, this art of spiritual healing. Now, I've always been as honest as I can in these talks, and with people that I talk to and write emails to and letters to. And I want to be entirely honest with you. And so I'll say that in 1972, when I first picked up the art of meditation, and I became aware that there was something called spiritual healing, well, I wanted to know more about it. And the reason was, I had a lot of problems. A lot of problems. And I needed some help. And it was the kind of help I couldn't get from a person, or a doctor, or a psychologist, or psychiatrist. I had to have the help of God. And I didn't know how to reach God. And one of the things that... well, one of the barriers that I had was the same as I have heard many others, and I'm sure Joel heard many others because he said so. If there is a God, how can he let these things happen? And I had done enough suffering already in my life, as I mentioned in the last talk or the one before, that I needed an answer. I knew that the command was to love God with all your mind, heart, soul, all your will. I knew that the command was to love God completely. But I also knew, how can you love a God that allows these things to happen? And the two, I could not get the two together. And that was really what drove me to find an answer. Not that I wanted to heal a physical problem or my relationship. Not that I wanted to heal a lack of supply that I was experiencing. Those were sort of mundane excuses. The real driving force was to find out, how can I love God with all of me and trust God when he lets these awful things happen on earth? And so I picked up every book I could find at the local bookstore by Joel, and I studied and I studied. And I learned, as he tells us, that this world is an illusion. And at that time, I assumed that that meant this world, this entire world, is an illusion. And that's the way I approached it. But I was wrong. But that sustained me for a while anyway, even though I didn't experience... well, that's not true. I did experience some spiritual healing. I didn't heal this inner ache. Okay, this world is an illusion, but how could God allow the illusion? You know, those kind of questions. And I began to have some spiritual experiences which began to lift me above this world while still standing here. And slowly I began to see that this world is not out here, that we're standing in the kingdom of heaven. However, we don't experience it. What we experience is this world, which is a set of universal concepts as old as time itself, which we entertain about that kingdom. And so it's like the insane, like the person that really believes they're Napoleon and sees everywhere an opportunity to conquer or be conquered and picks up weapons. Well, that person needs to be stopped and put in an institution and maybe given some medication and maybe some counseling. some of them even receive shock treatments to try to make them normal. In our case, thank goodness we don't have to go to those extremes. All we have to do is die. Spiritually, not physically. Die to a personal sense of self. And then we awaken into the kingdom here and now. There's no movement from one place to another. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as this world. This world is the universal concepts entertained about the kingdom that we're standing in. And so what do we need, really? We need to awaken. We need to awaken out of these concepts, these false concepts, in fact, all concepts. We need to awaken out of all concepts into the reality of the kingdom here and now. And that has been my path and my goal since 1972. Now, here we are in 2014, and I have heard the last week many people making resolutions, many people saying that they want to be, well, they want to have a better life. They want to be a better person. They want to have a whole new experience. And I've been looking at that and looking at that and looking at that. How does that happen? How do you do that? How do you have a better experience? And I have come to the conclusion that if you do not have a change of consciousness or a change in your awareness, you can't have a better experience. No matter how hard you make up your mind. In order to have a new experience and be a new person, you must have a new awareness. Otherwise, you're still the same person you were in 2013, entertaining false concepts about where you're standing and who you are. And so am I. If I don't have a change of consciousness, a change in my awareness, nothing will change. There's a saying, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And that's what that means. So how does this tie into spiritual healing? Well, in spiritual healing, unless you have a change of awareness, there's no healing. Joel says in this book, The Art of Spiritual Healing, in the chapter, The Language of Spiritual Healing, he says, hold on a minute, I got that wrong. I'm going to read that later. I want this first. And this is in the chapter, Developing a Healing Consciousness. And it's on page 81. And Joel says this, you will never, and I have that never circled and underlined, you will never be a healer. It is the awareness of God that does the healing. And we've said that before. So, what do we need in order to have a new experience, in order to have a better 2014? What do we need to do in order to have, well, spiritual healing? Spiritual healing will make you a better person and make your experience better in 2014, because spiritual healing will make it, check that, spiritual healing will lift you into awareness of that which is, a deeper awareness that you've ever had, and consequently Because of that, your experience will be better than it ever has been. Or you as a person will be better than you ever have been. So spiritual healing is exactly what everybody needs who wants to have a better experience. Right? You follow me? All right. So that's why I was listening to people say they want to have a better experience in 2014. They want to be a better person. And that's why when I went to meditation, I was shown the picture of the art of spiritual healing, because the two are one. When you practice the principles of spiritual healing and are lifted into a deeper awareness, you're either lifted up into a higher awareness or you're pulled deeper into a deeper awareness. I don't care what words you use, but it's different awareness than these concepts that are being entertained by the mind. Now, when I first approached spiritual healing, I thought if I learned these things in my mind and said them to myself, I was a spiritual healer. And so I would get quiet and I would repeat these statements of truth. First, I would deny that the error had any power. Then I would repeat these statements of truth. And then I would sit there for a minute and get up. And guess what? Nothing changed. Why? Why did nothing change? Because I didn't have a change of consciousness. There was no new awareness. There was new words, new thoughts, and new concepts. But entertaining concepts about God is not the God experience. So, I had a very wonderful experience thanks to Sharon Vickers out there in California. She sent me, unasked for, a few years ago now, a copy of the transcripts from the 1955 Kailua Study Series. And I pored over it and pored over it and threw myself into it. And I discovered what I had been missing all these years. Oh, sometimes I accidentally found it, but never as consciously as after my experience with the Kailua Study Series, which is why I love it so much. And of course, you probably get tired of hearing it or hearing about it, but I don't care. This is where it's at. And I have to tell you this because it's the truth. So in this chapter 23, Experience of the Christ, now Experience of the Christ could have been titled Experience of a Higher State of Consciousness, or Experience of Christ Consciousness, or Awareness of Christ. And he starts right out with a bang. And he says he starts out by saying, I've waited a long time to say this, because he couldn't say this in the beginning to the students. He had to wait until they caught up. And some of them were coming to him and saying, Joel, I'm practicing. Why isn't it working? And so he said, well, I've waited a long time to say this, and now I can say it. It must have entered your thought many, many times. Why, if these principles are right, why, if these things are true, why am I not demonstrating them? Or I'm demonstrating so little of them? Or even if I'm demonstrating a good deal of them, and if they are true, why are there so many truth studies demonstrating so poorly? Why, if disease is not reality and we know it, why is there so much disease, even among us truth students? Now, those are questions that you ask. I ask, and have asked, and do ask, and am asking, because I get calls, and I get letters, and I get emails from the same students, some of which I've known for 10 years now, with the same problems. Number one, that tells me that my work as a practitioner of these principles is not very good, because they're still having the same problems and they're turning to me and they're not healed. So what am I missing? And number two, it tells me if they're trying to practice and they haven't asked for help and they're trying to practice these principles and heal themselves, that's not working. So what are we missing as a group? And that's why I keep coming back to this and harping on this, hoping that someone will hear it. And so Joel said, why, after 75 years, and now it's been over 100 years, of metaphysical studies, are there so few really capable practitioners? And that's what I asked. Where are the Infinite Way practitioners? He made that tour in 1959. What is that, 54 years ago? Where are they? And that's what he asked. And it says we probably should be asking, why are there so few really capable practitioners? Why, if I am faithful? Now listen to this closely. Why, if I am faithful in knowing the truth, that is, you sit down, you make your declarations of truth, your denials of the error has any power, and then your declarations of truth. Why, if I'm faithful in knowing the truth, and I realize that God is all, God is the only law, the only cause, the only substance, the only being, why, if I meditate on this every day and declare God's grace is my sufficiency, why do these problems go on year in and year out and so little improvement is noted, either in my affairs or in the affairs of other students? Okay, so there's the question. And that's the question that I was asking when I received this from Sharon. And again, he makes it even stronger. He says, and yet I've read the best books that are published. I've read the best ones and studied them. And after years and years, I can't even heal a headache for myself or somebody else. What is the answer? Now, that's the place I found myself. And that's the place a lot of students were finding themselves. And that's why he went back out to try to teach the answer. And it's right here. Knowing the truth alone will not make you free. Declaring it, reading it, studying it, even meditating on it. The secret, here's the reason now, he gives this in one sentence, and it's so beautiful, it's just so beautiful. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Joel. The secret lies in the fact. The secret lies in the fact that truth is not a mental activity. It has nothing to do with an act activity of the mind. It has nothing to do with reading, speaking, or thinking. So there you go. Know the truth, says our Master, Jesus Christ. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And knowing the truth has nothing to do with reading, speaking, thinking. It is not an activity of the mind. Now, I can tell you, sure as I'm sitting here, if I was to interview each and every one that's still having problems, or that is the same problems over and over, I could pin this down to their prayer and meditation is an activity of the mind, and they haven't gone deeper. Now, in the beginning, it was very important that we learn how to have this activity of the mind, because that was the letter. And so we work with the mind to get away from the mind. But at this stage of our development, those of us who are listening to these talks, we should be able to take the second step. step, which he says is omitted. Let me find it. Yes, here it is. He says, the vast bulk of teaching and of treating is carried on in the mind and through the mind with these truths. And they fail because the next step is omitted. And the next step is attaining that mind or some measure of it, which was also in Christ Jesus. This would enable those works to be done through us. All right. So there's a second step. We know that. But are we doing it? Are we allowing it to happen? I don't think so. So now he gives examples. We then must take the next step and say, while all this is true, all this that I've been knowing, it's the truth about error, that it has no power, no cause, no law. It's the truth about God, that God is omniscient, omnipresent, and the source of my supply. While all this is true, so what? It isn't doing anything for me. And I'm tired of it. What am I missing? We must take the next step. Joel says, I get back inside of myself and remain silent until the Spirit of God takes over, until the Spirit of God announces itself in me. And I don't have to declare any truth. I don't have to know any truth. I just have to be silent and bear witness. And so there it is. That's the step that's missing. That's why we're not experiencing our healings. Because we haven't found a way to attain that level of silence, which Joel was so familiar with, it was almost like breathing. No effort at all. Yes, once in a while he had effort, but most of the time, well, what does he say in other places? He says, the call was answered before I put down the phone. Now, if he had to sit still and know a lot of truths in his mind and have this mental activity going on, he couldn't have had that inner awareness before he put the phone down. Joel had learned this second step, first in his meditations, and then, well, he said he could do it while he was swimming in the Pacific Ocean, or while he was eating a meal, or walking in the garden, or before he put the phone down, or before somebody left his office. It had become a working part. The Christ mind had become a part of him. Or he had become a part of the Christ mind. I don't care what words he used to describe it. It was an ongoing, constant experience. And as he said, he did not have to maintain it. It maintained him with its contact. That's what does spiritual healing. And when you have that state of awareness, then you can love God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, all your will. Because you know that God is all, and nothing else was ever made. Not as a statement of truth or something you read or some activity of thinking in the mind. You know it as an experience, as an awareness. You see reality. You see you're standing in the kingdom and never left home. Then you can love the Lord of that kingdom, the God within, the I, the omnipresence, as it loves you. Or, put another way, you can swim in that ocean of love. Now, Joel says very plainly, somebody calls him and asks for help. He knows all these statements. He can repeat them all. He can sit down and say, well, there's no power in world mind, and carnal mind is not an entity, it's a nothingness, and this is just hypnotism, and only God is here. He said, I know all the statements that can be made, all the denials and affirmations, but I don't have any faith in them. Because, he says, I've watched over 25 years the people who know all these truths and declare them all and eventually have to give up their practice, and those that have cancer give up their lives, their human lives. You see, he's watched, too, on the sidelines. He's watched other practitioners that have not been able to heal. And the reason is because they know all these truths with their minds. They're still in a mental activity. There is a spiritual power, but talking about it, affirming it, declaring it, meditating on it, does not bring it into expression. That's the point he's trying to make. He's waited a lot of years to make that point. You see, people have to come up through the principles, where they get to the point where they say, hey, why is this not working, teacher? And the teacher says, because you're still in a mental activity. You've got to come up higher. But how? How do I come up higher? Well, he gives you a technique. Once we know the letter, and all of us hearing this, at least in the Mystical Principles group, we know the letter, backwards and forwards. You can just see somebody writing and see that they know it. Once we know these things, from then on, we know whatever is to be accomplished must be accomplished not by learning more, but by permitting the infinite invisible spirit. You see? It has to be something higher. And so he says it's a big step we're going to take now. From now on, and I've been harping on this and hoping that you would grasp it, or at least fall into it, slip into it. From now on, don't respond to an appearance of error with a statement of truth. Don't do that. And I know we read that, and we determine within ourselves, okay, I'm not going to do that. And we come home from work and our spouse says, I feel like I'm coming down with something. And immediately our mind says, this is not true. This is an illusion. This isn't a concept. Well, what happened to our resolve? No. Here's what he says. Grit your teeth. Get to the center of your being as fast as you can and wait for the Father to speak or utter itself. Let God do it within you. Let the Christ come into manifestation. Okay? So we learn through these principles that we are going to let. Not think, or no. K-N-O-W, no. We are going to let. We're going to listen. We're going to feel, sense the infinite. We're going to be still and feel its movement. Not be still and hear more thoughts. No, if that's happening, we need to get up. It didn't work. Come back in an hour and try it again. And again, and again, until it begins to happen. What happens? We are lifted. We are lifted into a higher awareness. We rest back and go deeper into a deeper awareness of the kingdom here and now, of the presence here and now. And the awareness of it, not the thought, the awareness of it. The spiritual discernment of it, which is not an activity of the mind. If you think this is an activity of the mind, you're wrong. You cannot bring the mind here. It must be left outside your temple. It must be so still that the only thing it is an avenue of awareness, a channel. It's not making any noise, it's only bearing witness. It's standing still and seeing the movement of the Lord. Okay? So Joel says, I get very still and I wait. And eventually I get that deep breath, what I call the click, a release, a feeling of the presence. Sometimes it's accompanied with a message, but not always. All right, so now we are all in agreement that we've come to the place where we've got to have the experience of the Christ. Right? And finally he says, begin today, whenever any problem is presented to you, whether of your own or another's, agree that you will not deny it. You will not affirm about God. You will close your mind to all of that stuff. And you will say, none of that makes any difference now. And just sit down and wait. Don't wait more than 2 or 3 minutes or 4 minutes. If it doesn't come, go back to it in an hour or two. And if it doesn't come then, do the same thing over again. Because in the beginning, this is hard work. You're training yourself to come up higher or go deeper than the mind. You're training your mind to just bear witness. And it doesn't want to do that. It wants to inform you of how much truth it knows. All these little truths it's picked up over 35 years. But, he says, most of this work, after you've learned how to rest in a state of awareness, most of it's much easier than water rolling off your back. I can tell you that. There's really nothing to it at all, because it's not a conscious work at all. See, it's not an activity of the mind. It's a work that takes place in you without a conscious thought about it. Now, I know it sounds like we're talking about something that you can't quite put your finger on, and that's because we're talking about something that you can't quite put your finger on, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to talk about something that's not a mental activity. And so how can you understand something that's not a mental activity with a mental activity? You can't. You can't. Now, what does all that have to do with a new experience in 2014? What does all that have to do with a new person? And the answer is everything. Year after year, we've made these resolutions and promises to ourselves and haven't kept them. And the reason is because that change has to be a change, an inner change in your awareness. It has to be a change of consciousness. Then your 2014 will be on an entirely new level than it's ever been before. Your self will be a whole new self. It will have the constant conscious awareness. That is the ability to rest into it, to stand still and bear witness. At will. Almost at will. And the way to develop that new consciousness is by the practice of spiritual healing. because it demands that you leave behind the old man and step into the Christ mind. Now, Joel says in this chapter, The Language of Spiritual Healing, the beginning of wisdom is the realization that these conditions need not exist. Freedom from them comes not from seeking relief from God, but through seeking God and rising to that dimension of life in which only God is. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. What does it mean? Look at it. The beginning of wisdom is the realization that these conditions, the old man, the man you don't want to be, or the woman you don't want to be, you want to improve and be a better person, the old life, the life of lack and limitation, you want better supply this year, these conditions, well, freedom from them comes not from seeking relief from God. No. If you're seeking God and seeking to have the God experience in order to heal these things, you're seeking amiss. That is incorrect. We need to go to God to have the God experience, that awareness, and most of us don't know what that is. But in having that awareness, you are lifted into a new consciousness, a new awareness of the kingdom here and now, or of the presence here and now. He says, you rise to that dimension of life in which only God is. And then the problem disappears. Or the old man disappears. Or 2013 and everything that was disappears. Again, on the next page, he says, God appears as, and sin, disease, and death are unreal because they are no part of God and have no existence. Well, okay, we've repeated that to ourselves and affirmed that over and over and over so much that we're blue. We're tired of it. We're sick of it. But listen, did we get this last line, which is the second part? God appears as, and sin, disease, and death are unreal because they are no part of God, and have no existence in a consciousness elevated to spiritual awareness. Do you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? It's not true to say these things have no existence. That is not the truth. That's a lie. They very well have existence in this human experience. If I catch a cold, I feel sick right here and now, and saying that it has no existence doesn't do a thing for me. It's a lie, and part of me knows it. Then what? Then what? What is needed? That second part. Because if I have been elevated into spiritual awareness, outside of the mind, or outside of mental activity, let's say, but if I am in that mind, elevated to consciousness, and in that Christ mind, which has spiritual awareness, then in that awareness I see the living God here and now, and I rest in it. It's an experience, not a thought. And in that experience, then I can say sin, disease, and death are unreal. Because in that consciousness, they are not there. And having been in that consciousness, when I open my eyes, the things, these lacks and limitations are dissolved. The old man begins to disappear. And sometimes it's instantaneous, as Joel says, and sometimes it seems to take a few days or weeks, but they disappear. But what made them disappear? Did I know a bunch of truth? No, not anymore, I hope. Did I deny a bunch of error? No. Joel says, you knew these things last week and the week before. Be satisfied that you know them, the letter. You know it. You don't have to deny it or affirm it. You know it in your mind. Now you need something not of the mind, not of the human mind. So, when you are elevated into spiritual awareness of the spirit here and now, then these things don't exist. Otherwise, they do. Now, complete total spiritual healing, we're still in that chapter, the language of spiritual healing, complete total spiritual healing is the non-recognition of the reality of the condition. It is a state of consciousness, your consciousness or mine, in which God is so real, and the works of God, the Word of God, the universe of God, the man of God are so real that it is fantastic to believe such a thing as disease of any kind could exist in God's universe. I mean, that's quite different from just knowing things with your mind and having an activity of mind. Prayer is not an activity of mind. If you still have an activity of mind, you have not experienced prayer. And why? Because God is the one that prays. He says that in here. I hope that's underlined. It is God that gives you the awareness when the mind is a humble servant and still and listening and receptive. Now, if you haven't had that experience and haven't been lifted into spiritual awareness, then you are probably nodding your head in approval intellectually, but not knowing what I'm talking about, not really knowing as we need to know. Again, I know we've heard this over and over. He says, bunch together all the errors. Just bunch them together and dismiss them. We're not denying them. We're not working on them. We don't want God to heal it. We're not trying to go to God for a healing. We're not trying to go to God for health or companionship. We're not trying to go to God for supply. We're trying to go to God to have the God experience, to be lifted into spiritual awareness. Because being lifted into spiritual awareness, we will see, we will discern the kingdom here and now, the presence here and now, the man that God created here and now, God individualized as individual being here and now. And in that awareness, not the thought, but in the awareness, actual feeling and moving in that being, then these things no longer exist. And when we open our eyes, they are dissolved. Now, in the next chapter, what did hinder you? He goes over these same principles. He says, do not be tricked into treating persons or conditions. Leave that alone. And get back. Get back inside yourself. When you really begin to comprehend that in healing you are not dealing with people, when you eliminate them and their claims from your thought and deal with the root of the problem, you'll find, well, the root of the problem is knowing that it's nothingness, and so I'm not going to work on it. That's all you need to know ever about it. It's nothing. Drop it. Or as he said in the Kabbalah study series, there's no answer to that. It doesn't matter what you say. Just dump it, okay? Just dump it. You're going into meditation to be lifted into this awareness. And so when you are able to do that, when you're able to dump it, you will find that you will be able to become consciously aware of a spiritual presence within you. This presence cannot be felt until you are free of the barrier. And the barrier is the belief in two powers, which is why we say, we are not here to get God, one power, to do something to world mind, another power. We are not here to do that. And so you're perfectly free to say, look, I'm not here to fight anything or improve anything. I'm here to become still, to listen, to wait. And then you wait. You can say, Father, reveal thyself. You can say, speak, Father, thy servant heareth. You can say, I in the midst of me am the way. But that's all. If you say a scripture, he says in this Kailua study series, just say one and leave it alone at that. Drop it then. Be still. Because you don't want to stay in a mental activity. The mental activity is just enough to remind you, remembering enough to remind you that you're there to be still and to listen and to wait upon the Lord. He says, when you do that, you can rest in the Word, waiting for the Spirit of God to be upon you. And when it comes, it breaks the hypnotism. Or when it comes, it lifts you into a spiritual awareness where these things don't exist. You see that? He says, the stone is cut out of the mountain without hands. That means without any mental activity. Yes, you may have one or two sentences that come to you that you have not been able to turn off right away. But as soon as you say, okay, I'm dumping that now, that doesn't work. I don't want an activity of the mind. I want a spiritual awareness. Now, Father, if I be lifted up, you lift it. And then you're still. Inside yourself, you're receptive, you're open, you're waiting. When you do that, then you'll see the stone cut out of the mountain without any mental activity. He says, our weapon against error is only the awareness of God. You can't say it any plainer than that. He says, when you carry this out, you will watch the stone being formed of this higher consciousness, while you stand to one side as a witness or a beholder. He has a whole book almost in the contemplative life about being a beholder and how important it is. You're not doing it. You're not thinking it. You're being a beholder. And as a beholder, you catch a glimpse of God as is. And then reality appears. All problems fade out in proportion as you develop this ability to be quiet, to behold, to witness. Divine harmony unfold. Now, you're not witnessing God flowing into human life and healing it. That will never happen. You're witnessing divine being. And in that light, the darkness disappears, fades out. Okay? We call it a healing, but it's really the light of God revealing itself. So, he says the principle behind this is that when the human mind is not functioning, there's no more hypnotism. When you're not thinking thoughts or words, when you're still, the human mind is stopped, and so the hypnotism is gone. And when you experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension of life. So he says, do not try to change any of these appearances from now on. Just get back. Get back. Go back to some word or term which to you represents nothingness. Then you can sit in meditation and you will feel the descent of the Holy Spirit. You will feel the peace that passes understanding. And a release from fear or discord. He says, you can say to yourself, I'm going into meditation, but there's no person and no condition. My meditation has nothing to do with that. My meditation has to do with realizing a spiritual presence right where I am. So now I am going to be silent and let that realization take place. God is an experience. Now, do you see how the two fit together? Do you see how a new 2014, a new person, can only come out of this new consciousness, this new spiritual awareness? In the next chapter, Developing a Healing Consciousness, he says, your treatment, the mental activity that we're talking about, is merely to prepare yourself for the receptivity of the real treatment, the Word of God, which comes to you. God gives the treatment which does the actual healing work. It's an inner release, he says. You have this feeling of peace. He says, you will never be a healer. It is the grace of God which is the healer. And when you attain that, healing takes place. But it is the awareness of God that does the healing. And that's where we started. Healing is not dependent on God. Now that's strange, isn't it? But there's more to the sentence. It's not dependent on God in the abstract. Healing is dependent upon individual consciousness lifted to the heights of Christ consciousness. You see that? All right, so I want to have a new experience this year of 2014. I want to have supply, and I want to have health, I want to have companionship, I want to have fulfillment, a good life. And I don't want to be that old crappy person that's critical of other people and or depressed or short temper, short fuse. I want to be a better person. Well, I have news for you. If you read all these books and you know all these words and you repeat them to yourself and you meditate on these words and you get quiet for a few minutes and you are not lifted into a new state of awareness, you are going to have the same old lousy 2014 that you had in 2013. And that is just that's just the way it is. We must have this experience he was trying to lead the students to in 1955. And again, he was trying to explain to them how to have that experience in 1959. And again in 1964 and 63 when he talked about lifting up the Christ, the Son of God. Joel tried to bring the students to a place of readiness where they could step across the bridge from the letter of truth into the realm of the Spirit, where the Spirit revealed a higher level of awareness, of consciousness. And now here we are all these years later, confronted with the same, or perhaps a better way to say it would be, given the same opportunity. If you can't have that inner spiritual awareness, which is not an activity of the mind, something totally different, that perhaps you've never had before, then if you can't have that experience, you're going to be the same old person. Same old human being with the same old problems. And there's no use praying or asking God to make it different. I hate to sound so bleak, but it's just the facts. Like that old show, Dragnet. Just the facts, ma'am. All right, so if you have not had that experience, then you need to go back and find out how to meditate. Because you never really learned. And I would start with the art of meditation. It is imperative, if you would make a new 2014, a new person, a new experience, it is imperative that you have a new consciousness. And then it will reflect itself as a new experience. But to have that, you're going to have to learn, as he instructed, as we're discussing, as some of us are beginning to experience, you must have that inner experience where the mind is stopped. And you're looking, you're beholding, you're waiting almost around here. It's like waiting for the first snowfall to the first snowflake, rather, to fall. It's silent. It gets a very still atmosphere. You can feel it. You look up into the sky. It's gray. It's quiet. It's still. And it's about to begin. And if you're very still, there it is, floating down, the first one. And now two. And now four. Now 17. And it's come. It's like sitting up in the morning and watching the sun come up over the hill. First there's just, is that it? Or am I seeing? Yes, that is it. The first little tiny bit of, it's lightning. It's lightening up, I should say. Brightening. And yes, there it is. It's not black now up in the sky. It's a cool, light gray, silver, and now it's even brighter, and here comes the sun, and the trees, I can see them now, and the bushes, and you know, Joel says it's like watching a moon rise over the mountain, and I get those here too, like watching that moon come up, and just beholding, okay? It is imperative. Your life depends on it. Your spiritual progress depends on it. The spiritual progress of this planet depends on each of us individually learning to live from a new state of consciousness, the consciousness of a beholder. And it starts in our meditation. Living life without depending and relying on mental activity. Living life by relying upon this inner movement, this lifting us into a spiritual awareness. That, or this, is the mind which was in Christ Jesus. I want to read one more thing to you, and we'll wrap this up today. Now, this is from a dream. I have a journal, and when I get these teaching dreams, I definitely write them down. And this was in 2004, so that's, 10 years now. In the dream, I was flying, and I pumped my arms to raise up above the rooftops, buildings, treetops, and telephone lines. I was floating and looking down. I was grateful that I had risen above the world, the collective human thought of good and evil. Now see, this is the inner experience of being still, feeling that presence, and feeling grateful. Ah, but then, in my dream, I started to slowly drift down and began to pump my arms again, furiously, to stay up above things, high up. But suddenly, the invisible Christ Spirit wrapped around my arms with its arm, and I felt a tingling and began to rise gently higher, when a voice inside me said, You don't have to work that hard. I am the way. And then I woke up in my bed. And so you see, this would be the same as having that meditation, beginning to feel the presence, and then slowly the mind starting to creep back in and no statements of truth. That's the pumping of the arms. Now, this dream was telling me I have had the experience of being lifted up above those thoughts. What I need not do is go back to the old way, to the old city, like Lot's wife, and turn into a stone and drop. I need not go back to furiously pumping my arms, trying to stay above the mind. I need not go back to a bunch of statements of truth to try to raise above the mind. No. No, Christ says, you don't have to work that hard. I am the way. And so what I have to do is learn to rest. Learn to rest. And all of us need to learn to rest. Rest. There remaineth a rest to my people, saith the Lord. And we are his people. And there remains for us a rest in which we behold. We behold first in our meditation with eyes closed, and we are lifted into a new spiritual awareness. That then reflects, manifests, appears, and the lack, limitation, problems, disease are dissolved, and more of reality begins to appear. And we behold it appear. So first we behold within the silence, the movement of spirit, and then we behold without as that spirit manifests and appears as harmony of being. All this is, you might say, it's just, well, there are people that feel it's just, we're just tricking ourselves. But I submit to you, we're not. Yes, it is true, in the absolute, God is the only presence, so why bother? Well, the reason why I bother is because unless we are consciously aware of that presence, for us, even though God is the only presence, it does no good. We still experience these crummy lives. How could there be a God and these things happen? And so we experience a sense of separation. So for me, I need to practice these principles in order to have the experience of consciously being one. Conscious oneness. Conscious oneness. Because by being still and being a beholder, I experience oneness with the divine. Even as I am this second. And without it, I just go through life as a human being. And it doesn't make any difference in the absolute, but it makes a difference to me, to my experience. Again, it's like the story of the little boy and the starfish. All these starfish had washed up on the land, and early one morning, this man came walking along. He saw a little boy picking up a starfish and throwing it back into the sea. And he said to him, why are you doing that? You can't possibly make a difference. And the little boy said, I made a difference to that one. And he threw it into the sea. And so, no, in the absolute, God is all. We could do like some other people in other countries and sit by the roadside and just beg and hope that somebody puts some rice in our bowl. But I don't believe that's the correct path. I think the path is to be in the world, but not of it. And so if I am going to know consciously that God is the only presence and experience my oneness with that presence, or experience that presence living me, then I must practice these principles until the principle practices me. And That's why I'm doing this and have been doing this. And this is what my whole life is about. There's nothing else I want. And so I submit to you. You can have a new experience in 2014, a new self, if you will transcend mental activity. Stand still. Let that mind of Christ overshadow your mind. Let it speak. Let it heal. Let it flow. And be a beholder as you discover God is. I am. Thank you.